when we think of blessed, it's different than maybe what the scripture thinks. When we think of blessed, we think of I got a newer, I got a nicer, I got a better, I got a bigger. Hashtag blessed. But what Jesus says is Jesus points to something way different, countercultural, that his version of blessed and what he's trying to point us to is that it's joy rooted in God himself, because happiness depends on your happenings. I had a great week, I'm happy. I had a difficult week, I'm not happy. But in regardless of what's happening on the outside of my life, Jesus says, I can be blessed. I can have joy rooted on and in him. And what we said last week is that really blessedness is determined by where is my hope. If my hope is in me, if my hope is in my abilities, if my hope is can I achieve it, well, that can get me so far, but it can't get me all the way. Because what happens when the 401k falls apart? And what happens when I get laid off unexpectedly? And what happens when the relationship ends? If my hope was there, and if that was my hashtag blessed, I'm happy because of, if that goes away, then I'm just kind of left floundering. But Jesus says, your anchor can be in, I'm rooted in God himself, and I have joy that's based on him. And so last week, if you were following along, or if you missed it, you can go back onto our YouTube or our Facebook page and you can watch it. We said, blessed are those who are spiritually broke. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he said, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And we said that in our modern day, what we look to and what we try to achieve, God says, you don't need all of that. You can just come to me empty-handed. He said, blessed are those who are spiritually, they realize that I'm spiritually bankrupt without God. I don't bring anything to him. And so today, if you're following along, if you have a printed Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 4. We're going to look at this second one. If you have a phone with you, which I know you do, you can also go to todayssermon.com. Todayssermon.com. It's got some of our verses and some of the points, and you can save that for later. But here's what Jesus says, verse number 4 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who mourn. And just immediately you read that and you think, well, I've never felt blessed when I mourn. Like that, when I'm mourning, that feels like the worst part of my day. That felt like the worst season of my life when I mourn. And Jesus comes along with the audacity to say, that actually, when you mourn, you're blessed. For they will be comforted. And again, on its face, it seems so odd. I mean, blessed in the morning. No, nobody looks forward to mourning. In fact, here's what's true about all of us. We try to avoid it at all costs. I mean, we scroll our way to try to not have any quiet time, and we drink away and we medicate away. I don't want to feel that mourning, and so I try to distract myself. But Jesus comes along and says, blessed are you that when you mourn, you will be comforted. Now, if you just read that at face value, it seems very confusing because, again, when we think of mourning, we think of I've lost something, I've lost somebody, I had a negative impact, something negative impact my life, and I'm sad because of that. But that doesn't feel very blessed. But Jesus, if we were to translate this in kind of our modern way of looking at it, he says this, you're blessed because you're mourning. In other words, that he invites us into a mourning. And so if this is true, what is Jesus actually talking about? That clearly he's not saying we've got to read it in context. Clearly he's not saying that all sadness is blessed. And he's not saying that a spiritual gift is walking around depressed all the time. That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. That what Jesus is talking about and this mourning that he's talking about is not actually these external things at all, because of course you mourn. When you've lost somebody you've loved, or you lost an opportunity, or things didn't work out the way that you wanted to, of course you mourn that moment. But that's not the type of mourning that Jesus is talking about. That type of mourning, when you've lost somebody, when you're grieving, Jesus does promise you will be comforted in there, that he's close to the brokenhearted, that he is near to those that are broken and near to those that are hurting. But that's not the mourning that Jesus says is blessed and you are comforted in. Because this mourning that Jesus talks about, it's not about what's happening in your life, rather it's in your heart. Because we all know what it's like, and maybe some of you are in there this moment today, that we all know what it's like to mourn over life's circumstances. We mourn again, we lost a job, we lost a child, we lost a friend, we lost a family member. We mourn what we've lost in life. And those griefs, again, God cares deeply about those and he wants to come into those moments. But when Jesus is talking, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, Blessed are those who will mourn because they will be comforted. He's saying mourning, not over life things happening externally, but mourning over sin. And sin is that time where all of us have been there, right? All of us have said, I know what God wants. I think I'll do this instead. I know what God is calling me to. I just am not that interested. I'm going my own way. And Jesus calls us to, when my heart goes away from God's heart, that we are called to mourn that. Because here's what we all want, and I'm in line for this. We all want the path that makes me happy right now. God calls us to a different path a lot of times. But this thing over here seems so right, and it seems so fun, and it seems so enticing. And so he calls us to abandon this way of living and move towards him instead. But for all of us, we've all said, I don't want to. I want to go my own way. And here's what we know, that we've all paid the consequence, and we've all paid the price for doing that, right? We've paid the price for, I know what God wants, I just don't care. That those have had ripple impacts in our life. Some of you are impacted today because of the sin of your parents. Your parents made a choice, he did this or she did that, and now even though you're married and you have a family of your own, their sin has trickled down into your life and you are impacted by that. There was a price tag for that choice, and that's true for all of us. Paul said it, that the wages of sin or the result of sin is death. And we think about, you know, death, you know, eternal death, and that's true, but there's also death of relationships. There's death of opportunities. There's death of family relationships that we've all experienced in all of our life, that because of sin, something died. I can't do that anymore. I don't have that relationship. I don't invite them over because of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so what Jesus is talking about, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He's talking about, have you ever taken the time and have you ever paused long enough to mourn, my heart isn't connected to God, that I knew what God wanted and I went the other way, that I heard what God said and I chose to do my own thing as well. Have you ever grieved over what sin did to your relationship with God? Have you ever felt the sorrow of knowing this is what God wants, but I'm gonna do something else instead? Because Jesus says, if you can pause and if I can pause to grieve that, to mourn that, then there's comfort on the other side. That he invites us to embrace the mourning. He invites us to embrace, I sinned, I went away from Jesus. I'm not just a mistaker. I'm not just somebody that, oops, I kind of messed up. No, I'm a sinner. I knew right and I chose wrong. That Jesus, he broke down the barrier between us and God, but then through my choices, I build that barrier back up again. Have we ever mourned that? Now we all, and I'm here too, we all grieve what sin does horizontally. I grieve because sin broke that relationship. I grieve because that sin caused me to lose the job. I grieve because my sin caused this person not to trust me anymore. That's the pain of sin. But what Jesus invites us to is, have you ever mourned and have you ever grieved the stain of sin? What sin does to my heart? Because again, it's easy to see the results of sin in my life, but it's sometimes a lot harder to see the results of sin in my heart. In my life, it's obvious because I don't have a relationship anymore. I don't have the job anymore. I don't have this anymore. There was a death because of sin. But sometimes my heart, it's easier to hide. And so Jesus invites us to wrestle with this question, do I grieve what sin has done to my life or what sin has done to my heart? Of course you grieve what it's done to your life because you see that, it's obvious. But sin, if Jesus is telling us the truth, it impacts my heart. It impacts that relationship with him. It's not just horizontal damage that's visible to everybody. It's this vertical. I'm not where God wants me to be. And it's that mourning that Jesus calls blessed. That you can have joy rooted in God himself because you mourn. Sin did something to my heart. Here's another way of saying it. You're blessed when you stop defending sin and start grieving it. All of us will sin. You have to decide, how do I deal with that? All of us are going to stray from God's righteousness. What do you do with that? Because our default, my default, is to just defend it. Oh, that's not that big of a deal. Everybody's doing it. Oh, probably nobody noticed. Oh, this didn't hurt anybody. Oh, I mean, it's 2025. We defend it. But Jesus calls, don't defend it. Grieve it. See what it's done to your heart. Because again, we think of ourselves, I'm a good person. I do mostly the right things. I'm nice to people. And that's what we said last week. I believe you. But Jesus calls us to something better. We minimize, we justify, we compare. I'm better than the person down the road from me. I'm better than a lot of the people even that go to the same church that I go to. But blessed are the people that have moved away from defending sin. That's not that big of a deal. To grieving. Oh, it was a big deal. Oh, I knew what God wanted. I just didn't care. And so the prayer that we are invited to pray is, God, I am mourning that I chose my way over yours. I'm not just sorry for the mess, but I'm sorry for what it did to my heart. And this type of mourning, this is why these Beatitudes are connected, that we have to be poor in spirit. We have to come to God totally bankrupt, totally empty-handed. And when I do that, I recognize I'm fully dependent on him, and I see the weight of my sin, and I grieve that. You did so much for me. You sacrificed your son on my behalf to bridge the gap between me and God, and my sin came up against that, and I grieve that. I grieve that in that moment of temptation, I gave in. I grieve that when I heard that whisper of the Spirit in my ear, I said, I've got to ignore that. I want to drown that out, that I recognize my spiritual poverty. I see my sin, and then he promises, if I'll bring that to him, there's not shame, there's not condemnation, there's comfort. There's grace and there's mercy. So blessed are those who grieve. Blessed are those who stop defending and start grieving. They will be comforted. We're gonna get, at the very end, we're gonna get to comforted. But here's two ditches that we find ourselves in. And you might find yourself this morning in one of these two ditches. But before we do that, we gotta show what John says about Jesus. I want you to hold these things in both your hands. So this is what John says about Jesus, okay? The Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, the incarnation, that Jesus came, was born of a virgin. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of, here's what I want you to hold this morning, full of grace and full of truth. And what John says here is so profound, that Jesus was not sometimes full of grace and sometimes full of truth, that he was at all times, in all moments, in all circumstances, completely full of grace and completely full of truth. There was no separation. When we think about my sin and we think about what I've done that I know God doesn't want me to do, we can so easily get caught in one of these two ditches. Some of you are in this ditch, that you make too much of your sin, that you know what your life has looked like, and you have thought this thought, I don't think God can love me anymore because of. Well, because I did this, I just don't think that God could ever use me. I mean, maybe I'll make it to heaven someday when I die, but it'll just be like by the skin of my teeth because I did this, and then I did that, and then I said this. I just don't think because of my past and my history, I just don't think there's any way that God could love me. You're making too much of your sin. And here's the problem with that when you make too much of your sin, you deny the grace of God, full of grace. That essentially what you're saying when you get into that ditch is, my sin is too much for God's grace. I mean, God's grace might be sufficient for them, and God's grace might be able to cover them, but it can't cover me. I have to add something to God's grace. You see it sometimes in the Middle East, especially in ancient days, people would literally whip themselves and hurt themselves, and in their sorrow for sin, they would beat themselves up physically because they think, God's grace wasn't enough, I have to add to that. Now, you're not walking around with a whip beating yourself up, but some of us walk through life saying, I just don't think that God can use me. I just think I've gone too far. I think that God is kind of given up on me because I did this or because I went this direction. We have our own versions. And what that says about you is that you've made too much, that you have elevated your sin above God's grace. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. There is now, what's that word? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you know who wrote this? This was written by a guy who watched over the murder of Christians. And then he was fully redeemed by the grace of Jesus. And he was able to say, as a murderer, there's no condemnation for me. I mean, my history is flawed, and my history has got all sorts of shrapnel, and yet in Christ there is no condemnation. There's no stain that sin can put in my life that the grace of God can't cover. And so for some of you this morning, you just need to hear this, that you don't need to beat yourself up. God doesn't need that from you. That God isn't waiting for you to just to beat yourself up, and I've got all this shame, and I've got all this turmoil, and I just feel so condemned, and I just don't know. You're making too much of your sin. The grace of God is enough for you. His suffering was enough. You don't have to add your own suffering to his. His suffering was sufficient for whatever sin is in your life. The only thing that it's doing is hurting you. And that sin is driving you further and further away from God. Let me just give you, just bang, 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 three really quick verses if you're stuck in that ditch. For I will, Hebrews, for I will forgive their wrongdoing, and I'll never again remember their sins. Isaiah, come, let's settle this. Quit dragging this through your life. Come on, it's been decades, it's been years. Quit dragging this in through all the different days of your life. Let's settle it, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they're crimson red, they'll be like wool. Psalm says it this way, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Some of you need to believe that this morning. Don't make too much of your sin. The grace of God is enough for you. He's full of grace, and that grace is enough. The other ditch that maybe more of us are in is that some of us make too little of sin. And here's how you know if this is you. You hear yourself saying things like, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. Everybody's doing it. I mean, it didn't really hurt anybody. I'm a good person. I do more good than I do bad. In comparison to those people, I'm actually a pretty good person. I mean, the person down the road, they are really in bad shape. I'm a pretty good person. But here's the challenge that we face. That when we make too little of sin, we assume that God is comparing us to other people. And you're right, you are better than a lot of people. You might be better than your neighbor, you might be better than the people that you work with, and in comparison to them, I mean, you're elite. But God doesn't invite us to compare horizontally, we compare vertically, and so he says, you are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy and I have set you apart. You're a Christian, in other words. That you're supposed to be following. I've set you apart. You don't live the same way that everybody else lives, and you don't compare yourself horizontally. What is Jesus calling me to? Well, Jesus is calling me to holiness. I've set you apart from the nations to be mine. That you live differently. Peter said it this way, for it's written, hey, be holy, because I am holy. Not be holier than your neighbor, not be holier compared to the cultural standard. Be holy because God is holy. And so there's that ditch that we can find ourselves in that we say, the sin that I have in my life is not that big of a deal. It really, really is. And when I make too little of sin, I deny the truth of God. I make too much of sin, I deny the grace of God. But I make too little of sin, I deny the truth. That there is righteousness and there's sin. There is a possibility for us to water down his holiness, that we can easily ignore what Jesus says. There is a narrow way and few find it. Sin, ladies and gentlemen, is serious. It separates us from God. It destroys relationships. It destroys family. It has consequences, and you know this. You've seen this, that ripple through generations. And when I minimize it, if you minimize it, we're essentially saying, hey, God, you're making too big of a deal of this. You're making this too big. It doesn't need to be. But God says, be holy as I am holy. And so we have to hold the way that Jesus held, full of grace and full of truth. So can I just give you this morning truth and grace? Here's truth for some of us because we're in that ditch. We've made too little of our sin. Here's the truth. Your sin is a real problem. My sin is a real problem, and it offends God. Be holy as I am holy. It has serious consequences. This last one, you don't need me to tell you because you can just point to different scenarios and situations in your life. That's truth. Now, if you just get stuck there, you're going to find yourself in shame, and you're going to feel condemned, and you're going to feel guilt. Here's grace. There's no sin. It's too big for God's forgiveness. The cross was sufficient for you. And so Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who allows God to show us the truth about our sin. The blessed are those that allow the Spirit to convict us of our sin. Blessed are those who agree with God that sin is serious, and I bring it to Him, and then I will be comforted. I will receive grace. I'll receive the mercy that I don't own. Blessed are those who mourn. Have you ever mourned sin? Have you ever mourned what sin has done to your heart? Have you ever mourned not about the pain horizontally that sin has caused, but the stain vertically that sin has caused? Jesus said, joy is rooted in God Himself when you look at your sin and say, oh, I cannot believe I did that. I can't believe I went my way instead of God's way. But if we'll bring it to Him, you will be, look at this word, you'll be comforted. Not you might be, not you have to earn your way back, not that, man, you've got to really check off a bunch of boxes and float through a bunch of loopholes. No, you will be comforted. This word comforted, let me show you what it is in Greek, parakaleo. That's that word parakaleo. Parakaleo is kind of a cousin to the word paraclete, which is what the word is for the Holy Spirit. Here's what parakaleo means, that to call alongside, that because of sin, when I come to Him in brokenness, and when I come to Him throwing myself on His mercy, what Jesus promised is that the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will give us parakaleo, that He wraps His arms around us. That's what that word means, that to come alongside, to wrap His arms, to give strength, and to give hope, and to give comfort. That's the blessing that is on the other side of bringing God's sin. Mourning over sin brings divine comfort. And that's what we need, because it's easy for me to comfort myself. I comfort myself by kind of turning off my conscience. You ever been there? I comfort myself by kind of drowning out that voice of God. I comfort myself by saying, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, it's not going to hurt anybody. Nobody's going to know. It's just this one time. Well, this is just how I was, and this is how my dad was, and he had a temper, and so I have a temper, and my mom was a gossip, and I'm a gossip. It's just the way that I am. Jesus says, if you'll just bring that sin to me, the paraclete will parakaleo. He will wrap His arms around you. He'll give you strength and comfort, and He'll push you forward into the life that God has for you. And that is so, I mean, that is the gospel. Because we think, in our minds, we think, well, the more that I sin, the further away God wants to be from me. That's why some of you were in that ditch of I've made too much of my sin. Well, I know myself, and I know I lost my temper again, and I know I picked up that habit again, and I know I did that again. And so God probably doesn't want to have anything to do with me. That's not the gospel. The gospel that Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, that when I mourn over my sin, the Holy Spirit, He doesn't push me away. He comes close. He comes near. He does for me what I can't do from myself. Brings restoration, brings transformation, brings comfort. He doesn't leave me where I am. He takes me where He wants me to be. And so two words of just encouragement to you this morning. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If you find yourself this morning or in a time in the future in one of the two ditches, making too little of sin or making too much of sin, can I just give you these two encouragements? For some of you this morning, would you just receive grace? Would you, you've been beating yourself up for far too long. And I don't know what's in your past, and I don't know what skeletons are hiding in your closet, and I don't know the things that are inside of you that nobody else knows, but here's the truth, God does know those things, and He still calls you to come close. You need to stop assuming that your sin is too much for God's grace. God's grace is sufficient. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so God is ready. God is willing to bring you close to Himself with forgiveness. So for those of you that are in that ditch, let me just ask you, what sin have you been grieving in the wrong way? What sin have you been beating yourself up with? What sin have you allowed the devil to whisper in your ear? You'll never recover. You can never do it again. It's always going to be this way. I don't think that God wants to have anything to do with you. What sin have you been grieving without God's comfort? Don't make too much of your sin. Receive God's grace. The other part of us needs to hear this. You got to hear some truth this morning. Receive grace. But you've got to hear truth, that there is such a thing as sin. And for many of us, let's just tell ourselves the truth, we get too comfortable with it. We kind of pet our sin, and we kind of keep it close, and we kind of get real just easy with it, that it's so easy for us to drown out our conscience to where I don't even hear the voice of the Spirit anymore. And let me just, again, I love you so much. But can I just give you a red flag for how maybe if you've gotten into that ditch, just how you can kind of do a self-examination. If you find yourself saying every now and again, well, that doesn't bother me, that should bother you. If you find yourself hearing things or seeing things or whatever that looks like in your sphere, well, that doesn't bother me, just maybe be aware that you might have drowned out the voice of the Spirit, because there are things that should bother you. There are things that should, oh, that's not where I should be. That's not what I should do. That's not what I should be seeing. That's not what I should be listening to. And so if I find myself and hear myself saying, it's not that big of a deal, I just gotta tell myself the truth. Man, I'm in a ditch, and I've made too little of my sin. And so for those of you that might be in that ditch, can I just ask you, again, you got to be honest with yourself. What sin have you been defending that God is calling you to grieve? And I know that your dad had a quick temper, but it's not the way he's called you to live. And I know that your mom was a manipulator, but that's not the way that God's called you to live. And I know it's easy to get onto those porn sites when nobody else is watching, but that's not the way that God's called you to live. What sin have you been defending that God has called you to mourn? It's so easy for us to get in the ditches. There is grace and there is truth. And Jesus holds both of them. And he invites us to hold both of them. Blessed are those who mourn. And I'm inviting us, I'm inviting me to invite God to point out anything. That's what David said in the Psalm. Point out anything in me that offends you. Is there anything in my life that offends you? I want to mourn that. Is there any areas of my life that I've went your way, but then I kind of went my way, and then I kind of drift back and forth? Blessed are those who mourn, because the paraclete, the Spirit, comes alongside of us and brings your comfort. I don't know where that lands for you this morning, but I'm just trusting the Spirit to make it clear. I'm trusting the Spirit, if you're in the ditch, if you're making too much of your sin, I'm trusting the Spirit would bring you comfort, and he would show you that grace is available and grace is enough. And if you're in the other ditch of making too little, I'm praying that God will bring you in his mercy conviction, and he will bring you back to himself. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, wherever this lands for us today, would you help us to take it seriously? Lord, for many of us, we've held on to grace, but we haven't been willing to tell ourselves the truth. For many of us, we know the truth, but we haven't been willing to accept your grace. So we're so grateful that Jesus at all times is full of grace and he's full of truth. So Lord, for those this morning that are feeling condemnation, that sin has just been beating them up, I'm praying that they would this morning receive the grace of Jesus, that they would know once and for all that what you went through on the cross, that your blood is sufficient for them. Lord, I'm praying that for some of us who are in the ditch, if I haven't made enough of my sin, I've been defending what I should have been grieving. Lord, I'm praying that in your mercy, you would shed a spotlight on that. Reveal to us, Lord, what we've allowed into our lives, that you have called us to move in your direction. We want to be holy as you are holy. And Lord, as we grieve those sins, we're just so grateful for the promise that you bring us comfort, that you don't hold us at an arm's length, that you don't discard us, you bring us close. And we need that today. We need to be close to our Savior, your Son. Jesus Christ. Help us with that. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.